Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Amen. Pastor E, God bless you this evening. Amen. God bless everybody this evening. Pastor E, are you in the room, Pastor E?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to say welcome everybody to Prophet's Closet with my brother, Prophet Dwayne. I know we have an exciting word today that's going to go forward, and we're excited, my brother. I just wanted to say thank you, and no matter what weapon comes against us, we're going to push and make it.
Amen, amen, and I'm so glad to be here. God bless everybody who's listening abroad. It's been a long time, and we're back here on the Prophet's Closet, and I have a very interesting topic here today that I'm going to share the platform with one of my dear friends, and I don't even call him a friend, I call him a brother, and I really believe because of where he is in the spirit realm when it comes to things of God, and then also when it comes to relationships. I'll let him explain a lot of what he's been through and what his profession is, because we're going to do something different on tonight. Normally, I would bring a word, and we will all, you know, come in with the word with many of the members of the Now Network. But today I wanted to do something different to start off this new broadcast here on the Now Network. I wanted to do something in the Prophet's Closet that many folk are not talking about. It's good to talk about the word. Don't get me wrong. It is so good to talk about the word, but it's also good to talk about other topics that we're not talking about, we're not discussing. And so I want to talk to you all tonight about relationship, be it a relationship with God, be it a relationship with your spouse, your children, whoever it is, your relationship at your church, your relationship between your pastor. And so I have a phenomenal guest on tonight, and I can introduce him, but I'm gonna let him speak for himself. But before we do that, me and this man, we met several years ago on this platform that's called Periscope. They don't have Periscope any longer, but we continued a relationship. He's here in Georgia. We had a phenomenal time about maybe a month ago, where I went and picked him up, man. We fellowshipped and had a really good time. And so without further ado, I believe he's on listening with us right now. Dr. And I call him Apostle Hightower, but his profession, he's a doctor, certified doctor in a profession that many people are not really reaching out to, but I really believe that in this season that they need to reach out in this profession that he has and is dealing and based on relationship. But he has many background, many facets that he has come through when it comes to what he does. But without further ado, I want to introduce my brother, my friend, my ace boon coon, Dr. Hightower. Dr. Hightower, are you on with us, brother? The Hightower, are you on with us? You got to push one to get into the onto the platform if you're listening.
All right, there we go. Good evening, Prophet Dwayne. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, brother. How are you doing this fine
Excellent. Evening,
man? Excellent. Glory be to God. You know, Dr. Hightower, you had a phenomenal teaching on relationship on last week, and it was on Valentine's. And, man, look, I said to myself, I got to get this man on the Blog Talk Radio show on the Prophet's Closet. And so I want to talk to you tonight. And I want you to give us your background, if you will, to all of the people who are listening on Blog Talk Radio Show with us tonight. Please give us your background. Give us what you specialize in, so that there are some people who may be going through some things traumatically in their relationship or mentally, because you deal with a whole facet of things. So give us a rundown. Amen.
Well, thank you. First of all, Prophet Dwayne, thank you so much for hosting me here on your show, The Prophet's Corner. Thank you to all the listeners. My name is Dr. Gerald T. Hightower, affectionately known as Dr. G, and I am the CEO of Real Love Nation, which is a relationship development, premarital consulting, and divorce recovery firm. I am now in my 19th year as serving as a pastoral counselor, and I specialize in helping people break free from entanglements and soul ties. So I am known, as I'm branding now, Prophet Dwayne, I am known as the entanglement coach, because that is my job, that is my passion, that is my drive, and an entanglement is those things that are either self-imposed or things that have been imposed upon us that hinder us from fulfilling our purpose and having a healthy love relationship. And so my job, my assignment from the Lord, is to help people break free from those entanglements, help people break free from soul ties, and be healed of soul wounds so that we can maximize our potential and we can flow in our purpose. And so I'm honored to be here with you on the show tonight. To your point, yes, we had a fantabulous show on Monday, Valentine's Day, which I call Real Love Day. And it was absolutely wonderful. Had a couple of great guests in my sisters, Michelle Applewhite and Christine Foster. And Michelle talked about the power of forgiveness, how God blessed her to overcome some tremendous challenges in her life, and how she learned to love someone who had really wounded her deeply. And I think, Prophet Dwayne, that's probably the number one thing for many of us who are single. A lot of us are carrying wounds, as I call them, soul wounds. We're carrying soul wounds from our past, and it's preventing us from having good, healthy relationships in our present. And so that is the number one thing that we have to be in a place of developing healthy self-love, which includes our love for God, our Creator, and then learning to love ourselves, learning to appreciate ourselves, no matter what weight you are, what size you are, what height you are. It doesn't matter about any of those things. Can you love yourself based on where you are? And if you're not happy with where you are, what actions are you willing to take to make yourself better? So, again, Prophet Dwayne, it's an honor to be here with you tonight, and I'm ready to go.
Man, you know what? It's amazing that you said some of the things that you said, because in relationship, there's a lot of things that happen in relationships, right? You know, you have the start of a relationship, and then some of us, we have the finishing of relationships and have yet to get into another relationship because of some of the things that you said. You know, some relationships, you have people who have committed adultery or cheated on that person, and then that person has a lack of trust when it comes to entering into another relationship. So, and you said the entanglement, you know, you're specializing in the entanglement. So that's the releasing and the letting go of something, if I'm not mistaken. Because when I think of being entangled in something, that's like being trapped, you know. So when you're specializing So when you're specializing in entanglement, that means you're actually taking someone who was trapped. And now that trap is a facet of things. You can be trapped mentally. You can be trapped spiritually. Okay, I'm talking to some of y'all out there, you know, and I know y'all listening to us. You know, you can be trapped in your job profession. And so here's a man who knows how to strategically untangle you from the bondages of life. And man, I mean, how did you get into this? How did this fall into your lap?
Yeah, that's a great question. Dwayne. So as I always teach with regards to our purpose workshops, purpose is always evolving, right? So we started out in the area of relationships, and so throughout social media and in ministry circles, I'm more so known for relationships. But my first and foremost passion has always been equipping people for purpose. So I, years ago, I pastored a great church in Southern California called the Purpose Center. And that was the whole mission of the ministry. And it's what it is literally my apostolic assignment to this day. I've been put on the earth to equip people for purpose. But now what happens if you were to poll 1,000 people? Prophet Dwayne, I guarantee you that at least, and I'm going to use conservative numbers, that 70% of the people you would ask, do you know your purpose? Can you give me a clear, concise explanation of what God put you here on the earth to do? Most people would not be able to answer that question. And so many years ago, as I fasted and prayed and I was seeking God for a long season, really wanting to gain clarity in my own life, God, why am I here? And when I was really seeking, fasting and praying for God to reveal this to me, and I literally said to God, Dwayne, I said, God, if you show me very clearly about what my purpose is, why am I here, and what am I supposed to do? If you can show me that, if you will show me that clearly, I will go back and I will help others. And I remember being in this season of my life because by this time I had come to the end of 17 years serving as a choir director / minister of music, been blessed to direct and oversee award-winning choirs, been blessed to direct and travel all over the country and being personally mentored by the late, great Reverend Darryl Coley, who most people know as one of the most phenomenal male vocalists in the world, has even done a personal tribute to Michael Jackson, and even Michael Jackson was on his feet. Being mentored by this man and traveling all over the country and working with phenomenal artists like Richard Smallwood, Walter Hawkins, Edwin Hawkins, Tremaine Hawkins, Yolanda Adams, and all of these wonderful people, I realized that the grace, the passion for the music ministry was lifting off of me. And I was trying to discover, like, God, what is my next? Because even though people in the church had told me, oh, my God, you're so gifted. Oh, my God, that's your purpose, man. Oh, God, that's what you're supposed to do. You're a choir director. You're supposed to usher us into the presence of God. And, you know, and this is cool, but I realized that this is my gift. This is not my purpose. So, God, there has to be something greater because, quite frankly, this has become boring. There has to be something more. And yes. So that led me into the season, Prophet Dwayne, of really fasting and praying. God gave me clarity about purpose. He showed me what that looks like. 3 years later, after going through some intense pastoral training, I launched the ministry that God had called me to birth, called the Purpose Center. Pastored there for 7 years. And since 2012, I've now just been traveling, doing itinerant ministry, helping churches and nonprofit organizations have a greater understanding of their purpose. And, of course, as you know, doing many, many, many conferences and workshops in the area of relationships, singles conferences, women's conferences, because women always need to be blessed with understanding relationships from a male perspective, just as well as we as men need to understand relationships from a female perspective. So that's been my assignment, man of God, and that's how I came into it. As I always say, Prophet Dwayne, I didn't choose it. I was chosen for it.
You know, and that's good because there are not many people who specialize. I mean, you have a lot of psychiatrists that you can sit down with, but not many of them are in the facet of just relationship, you know, and you're dealing with relationships, you're dealing with the soul, body, the mind, you're dealing with the five facets of the eternal man or woman, if you will. And so, man, I thought it was so wonderful just to be in relationship with you as my brother, to even learn more about what it is that you specialize in. Because like you said, there are a lot of people who really don't know their purpose, you know, and some of them say that this is my purpose, but then they get in it and then they get out of it. You know, I've met a lot of people who get into churches and they say, well, man, I love God. And then all of a sudden, because things are not going the way that they pictured it to go, they begin to take the back seat on God. And so, you know, I believe that there's a scripture in the Bible. Jesus had said to his father, he said, Father, make them one as me and you are one. And so in relationship, how do you minister to broken pieces that have fallen off? You know, so now we're talking about the entanglement. You know, so you're unraveling the broken pieces of a man or a woman, because women all day long can tell you A to Z, but then you have men that maybe can only tell you A, and then they'll skip B, C, D, E, and F, and then they'll say, well, here's H, I, J for you, and L, M, N, O, P, you know, but then they're missing so many other facets. So because of their brokenness, some broken because of rejection, some broken because father was never in their life, some broken because of past relationships that they were in. And so that there are pieces of them in every past relationship that has not been healed. So what do you do, Dr. Hightower, on the broken pieces of a man? Because like I said, a woman can tell you all day long, hey, boom, 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 you know, but the man is, man, there's so many broken men out here, man. There have been men who've been molested, raped, and then when you get into a relationship, it's hard for them to unveil that stuff, you know.
Yeah, it is. What you touched on are what I call soul wounds. When you talk about rejection is a soul wound. Abandonment, that's a soul wound. Betrayal is a soul wound. Those are the three of the top soul wounds, and there's many more, but those are three of the top soul wounds that both men and women deal with. I do have a passion, Dwayne, for men. My primary clients, however, at Real Love Nation are women, because interestingly enough, more women, more committed to building up their inner man, to having a level of liberation from the entanglements, from these things that hinder us from maximizing our potential, right? So,
right.
My job is not to be the deliverer. That's God's job. My job is to give people the tools so that they can come to a place of discovery for themselves. My job is to first and foremost lead them to God and then give them some practical tools and some spiritual and some intellectual and emotional tools that will help them get free. There's a scripture that says in Galatians chapter 5, be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage wherewith Christ has set us free. So that scripture, it really kind of goes into a deeper level, and it really deals with the law, and Apostle Paul is addressing the church at Galatia and instructing them, hey, y'all don't get caught back up in the very thing that Christ has delivered you from. And even though he's talking about the law versus the grace dispensation that we are now a part of, New Testament saints, the principle of not getting entangled again is there. It's universal for all of us, because when God has given you the strength to break free from a toxic and perhaps even abusive relationship from your past, what you not do is get entangled again in that same relationship or that same type of relationship. What we have found, Brother Dwayne, and I've been doing this now for 19 years. This is my 19th year as a relationships consultant. And so while my doctorate is not, I'm not a medical doctor, my doctorate is a doctor of ministry degree, and I'm master's of divinity as well. And so that has given me a deep level of understanding regarding the soul of a man and a woman.
Okay. Now, you said something. You said something that I want to just back up on. Then why is it? Because you said you gave the scripture about what Paul has said, but why is it that we find ourselves, man or woman, going back to the something, the same thing that we got out of? I mean,
is this something with the mind? Yeah, it's, well, again, it's all about what the soul is dealing with. So the soul consists of, yes, Dwayne, our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's what
the soul
is comprised of. So now, seeing this tripartite existence of the soul, mind, will, and emotions, yes, absolutely. What causes us to go back and become entangled again is simply because the soul craves what's familiar to us. In order for you to move into a newness of life, whether it's relationally, financially, emotionally, intellectually, whatever area of your life, physically, whatever area of your life that's going to where you want to become a new you, where you want to become a better version of yourself, then the old you must die first. If I'm going to the gym, let's shout out to all the people who have stayed committed to their physical fitness goals for 2022. We salute you, kings and queens. Listen.
Yes, we do.
And as we know, Dwayne, if you're going to actually become fit and move out of the place of being unfit and overweight, because most of us have picked up some pandemic pounds, I'm guilty
too. Yes, sir.
So if a new fit me is going to live, then the old unfit me has to die. And so the reason why many of us fall back into relationships that are unhealthy, abusive, and toxic is because the soul craves what's familiar. It's easier to go back into a familiar relationship where I'm getting entangled again in something that's toxic or hurtful. It's easier to fall back into that than it is for me to die to the old me and become a new me. And so what we have found over my years of experience, let me just share this one point.
Go ahead.
Many of us, we have ended up dating the same person or even marrying the same person over and over and over again. Yes, different name. Yes, different look. But the same spirit inside of that person, because our soul is craving the familiar thing. So we're attracted to the familiar because the familiar doesn't require us to change.
So that reminds me of the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 5th verse. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things after the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So we are so, like you just said, it could be the different person, but it can be the same things that this individual reminds you of that did in your last or your previous relationships. Now, let me ask this then. In relationships, would you say that we are more carnally minded before spiritually minded?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's natural on a human level because we're first natural and then we're spiritual, right? So your immediate response is a natural feeling in relationships. Now, after that initial human, to put it in context of what you're sharing, the carnal man in terms of that natural human reaction, after that, then you have to be led by your spirit man on how you navigate through that relationship, the development and the cultivation of that relationship. It has to be a spiritual thing and not a fleshly thing, because if I'm being led by my flesh, whether that's on an emotional level or a physical level, if I'm being governed, my decisions are being governed by my flesh, I'm always going to make the wrong decisions. So the scripture, to your point, of Romans chapter 8, which is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, Romans chapter 8.
Yes, yes.
So Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God."
Wow. Wow.
So the flesh, which is governed by the soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, that will always lead you down the wrong path, versus us being led by the Spirit, which we're saying to God in the person of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, "God, I need you to lead me and guide me, because I always mess stuff up, and I don't want to mess nothing up, God. So, God, I need you to lead me and you to guide me." Come on. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, including your finances and relationships, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So this is the key. We have to learn, Dwayne, if I'm going to be successful, whether it's in my business endeavors, my spiritual endeavors, family, and certainly in the leading and the guidance of my relationships, I've got to make sure that I'm being spirit-led and not being led or governed by my soul and my flesh.
Wow. Man, you're saying a mouthful over here, man, and I know that there's some people that are listening to us right now on the edge of their seats, probably with some questions that they want to ask and just bring out. Man, I want to talk. So now, since we're talking about the flesh and the spirit's things of a relationship, you know, if this is a question, how does a man, or how do a man being hurt? Because I'm pretty sure you, Dr. G, may have experienced some hurt from a relationship. You know, how do a man, when he's getting ready to enter into something else, what are some of the things that we should do, man or woman, before we even think about entering into another relationship? I believe, man, we should most definitely pray, and I think we should most definitely, if we're broken, we need to get healed, because I don't believe that you should take the fragments of broken pieces into another relationship. So what do we, as a male and female, we need to, what steps maybe we should take before we encounter into another relationship? That's one part. And I also want, once we finish that, I also want to talk about this stigma that goes on, where you hear a lot of women say that there is no more good men out here. I want to go to that part, you know, next, after you answer this one.
Okay. So the truth is, most of us are completely unaware that we are wounded. We don't know. we're gone on, because most of us have mastered, especially those of us in the Latino community, Native American community, and the Black community, we mastered the ability to function within dysfunction. We've mastered the ability to keep it moving, even though I'm still wounded. We've mastered the ability to get up and go to work anyway, get up and go to church and serve anyway, even though I'm bleeding on the inside, but I'm going to put a smile on my face on the outside. And so we've mastered the ability to function within dysfunction. And so because of that, you know, from a physical standpoint, Dwayne, we would call it in sports a person who has a high pain threshold, right? Shout out to
yes,
our
sir.
Brother,
yes,
the late, great Kobe Bryant. You're talking about a warrior. Listen, I'm a Laker fan, as you know, and I bleed purple and gold. I've been at the games when I've seen Kobe, his whole ankle rolled, just like Anthony Davis' ankle rolled the other day. But unlike what Anthony Davis did, you know, get carried out by his guys and he never came back, Kobe went into the locker room, had the trainer, Gary Vitti, tape him up, put ice on it, and 10 minutes later he came back out there and balled out. Because Kobe had a different kind of mindset. That's that Mamba mentality, right? But from a spiritual perspective, when you put that in spiritual context, it is a mindset that says, I have to keep going, because if I don't, then others won't. And so we've programmed ourselves, unfortunately, Dwayne, we've programmed ourselves to think that everything is falling on my shoulders. And so we keep going and keep going and keep going, and we don't really take the time to address the soul wounds that we may be suffering from. We don't take the time to mourn when we've lost a loved one. I've gone through that myself, having lost my dad. I just kept going. But I was wounded. I was mourning, but I just kept going. We go through divorce. We just keep going. We keep going to work. We keep going to church. We keep serving. We keep doing all these things. And the bottom line is most of us are unaware that we're really wounded on the inside. So to answer your question, brother, before we enter into a new relationship, I believe that everyone, and I have this available right now for free for everybody who wants it, a real love assessment. This assessment is basically asking us 20 questions, and it's helping us to see us, helping us to see ourselves, to see if I'm really what I call, Dwayne, relationship ready. And so when you answer these 20 questions, and if you all want them, just shoot me an email, reallovenation@gmail.com. That's reallovenation@gmail.com. Send me an email, and I will send to you free the real love assessment. 20 questions is allowing you to see if you're really relationship ready. Because the truth is, Dwayne, a lot of us are not as ready as we think we are. A lot of us are really in a state of loneliness or horniness. And we think because we're either lonely and horny, we think that we're ready. But just because you're lonely and horny doesn't mean you're ready.
Hey, you know one thing I love about you, Dr. G? Man, you keep it real. You keep it 100. And you keep it so open and so it reaches the old, the new, and the new. You know, so, you know, when you break stuff down, man, and you throw, like, I remember you was on one of your episodes, and you were talking about the men. You were telling us, you know, certain things that we need to do this. And then you said, oh, women, I ain't forgot about you, because I'm getting ready to bring you up next, you know, because there's some stuff in y'all dirty too, just like us. Y'all ain't all clean. Y'all ain't all glamorous and all that stuff too. Just the same way y'all think about us, we think about y'all the same way. So I love the way that you're so open. And I guess because of your profession, you got to be that way, right? You can't be just narrow-minded on one sector. You have got to be vast, you know, open to kinds of relationships, be it a relationship with Adam and Eve or Steve and Steve, you know. So you're touching on so many things, man, that a lot of people are really in need of. And then at the end of the show, we're going to go back and give all your information to those. And I'm pretty sure Pastor E is probably sitting on his seat right now, because I know he want to come in and say something, but I'm a hold on with him until we open it up for everybody, because there's a nation out there who really are struggling. Some of them are struggling with relationships. Some of them are struggling because they didn't have a good relationship with their mom on what type of how to be. You know, I remember a man told me, he said, man, because my mom wasn't a good mom to me, I don't know what kind of woman to pick, because I didn't see it at home. And, oh, man, I want to talk about that. You know, before you answer the other one about, you know, there's, you know, people always saying that there's no good men out here. I totally disagree with that, you know, and maybe you can enlighten me on it or so, but I totally disagree with that statement. With whoever started the statement, they're absolutely wrong. And for any woman to believe that there's no good men out here, then I just got to ask you, what swimming pool are you in? You know, because there's a plethora of men out here who is good, you know, and I used to always ask the question, since you say that there's no good men out here, then let me ask you a question. Are you good for a good man? Okay, I'm gonna move on that one. Let me throw that onto your lap, Dr. G.
Well, consider this. As of 2020, the World Census says that there are over 7.5 billion, with a B, 7.5 billion people in the world. And here in America alone, there are close to 4 billion people here in America alone. So
wow.
This notion, false notion, of women saying that there are no good men available, it's only her personal truth due to her infinitesimally small experiences.
I like
she
that. Come on, Dr. G.
Has only been in her city, in her region, or in her own personal travels. She hasn't even met 1/100th of the men. And let's go ahead and address the elephant in the room, because we're primarily talking about black men, because you don't hear white women making those statements. You don't hear Latina women making those statements. You don't hear Asian women making those statements. We hear black women making those statements. Now, there is some merit to it, Prophet Dwayne, and that is based on how black women are viewing black men in terms of our availability and our willingness to marry, then these are the experiences that they're having. Now, let's talk from an educational perspective. There's a professor at Howard University, and the professor at Howard University stated that the last graduating class, there were approximately 7 women graduating to every 1 young man who graduated from Howard University.
Wow.
So there's a huge gap on an educational level as women are looking at men who they would deem this new term, quote unquote, high value, high quality men, right? But now even the high value, high quality men, that has to be redefined as well, because not all good men, high value, high quality men, are going to college. We have a plethora of ways to generate revenue nowadays. My dad made more money than some medical doctors, but he never had more than an AA degree. He never even went and got a bachelor's. He worked almost 40 years, Dwayne, as a longshoreman, sitting
wow.
up in a cab, hauling cargo out of the ships. His job was as a crane operator, sitting up 300 feet up in the air and dropping this crane down in the hold of a ship and taking cargo out the ship, your Toyotas, your Nissans, your Rolex watches and all of that stuff, your food and all of that stuff. My dad was making sure that all that cargo got off the ship and got onto the back of the trucks and come into a store near you. So that's what my dad did for almost 40 years. But was
wow.
not what we would call an educated man, and what women of today would consider not a quote-unquote high-value man. Although he's a single father, shout out to all the single dads out there. Single moms, we love and appreciate you too, but our single dads never get enough honor, never get enough praise. So I'm shouting out all the single dads out there, especially our single black fathers. Listen.
Come on, man.
So now here is this man who is not educated, not formally. He's a blue-collar worker. But watch this. Dwayne, he's raising 2 children, which both of his children are successful. He is a property owner, okay? And the man is a 6-figure earner, but you'll
yes,
never see him in no flashy suits. You'll never see him, you know, riding on 24s with spinning rims. You know, you'll never see him with none of that. You know what I mean? You're not going to see him in any of those things, but women would deem him not a high-value, high-quality man. And so we have to redefine that. When women are making that statement, there are no good men available, it is based on their very limited experience in the type of men that they have personally dated. Because as I always tell women, as I'm being blessed to serve in women's workshops and conferences, I always tell women very lovingly, very respectfully, ladies, God ain't broke. God ain't never run out of anything, and he hasn't run out of good men. I don't know what God y'all serve, but the God that I serve, one of his divine names is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. So he hasn't provided more than enough for everything in the earth. But when it came to black men, oh, snap, I done ran out of black men. I'm going to hook y'all up on the next go-round. You know, no, he has plenty of good black men available who are marriage-minded. You have to redefine for yourself as a woman what is high value to you. Can a man be deemed high value if he only makes $50,000 a year? And he doesn't have a degree, but he's a man of integrity, a man of honor, a man who is willing to be a good leader for your life and maybe even the children in your life. Can he be deemed a high-value man? Or is the high-value man only the flashy dude who only makes six figures, but yet he lacks spiritual integrity? Ladies, can you have both?
Let's
you
talk
absolutely
about that.
Can. You absolutely can have both. But I submit to you, ladies, that even though social media has really plagued our minds and making us think that what's in social media world is reality, the reality is that only 3% of all Americans, no matter what race, creed, or color you are, only 3% of all Americans are six and seven figure earners. So you have
3%.
To figure out for yourself. You have to figure out for yourself what is really high value. Is it all about, hey, must be the money? Is it all about the money? Or is it about a man's character?
Oh, man, come on, man. You own something now because we're getting ready to go some places. I got a friend who's in a relationship, just got into a relationship, and while they were in the relationship of the courting, getting to know one another, the young lady told him, she said, I've always had a struggle with relieve or revealing some of the things that I do. And he said, well, I don't have a problem with it. What is it that you do? She began to tell him what she does. And he said, okay, that's good. That's good. She said, oh, you're not intimidated by it? He says, no, I'm not intimidated by it. And she said, well, maybe you'll push away when I tell you this. And he said, what is that? She said, how much money I make. And he said, well, how much money do you make? And she said, well, I make over $200,000+. And he said, okay, man, that's wonderful. You really accomplished a lot. And she said, wait a minute. That doesn't scare you that I would make more money than you make? And he says, no. He says, I'm thankful for the accomplishments that you've acquired to make this type of money. You know, praise be to God. And so he began to tell her how much money he makes. And she never looked down on him because he's not in the six figures. He's just making maybe $65,000 a year. But he still had stamina because he told her, he says, before you came in my life, I got a house. I got two cars, one that I'm paying for. I'm paying on my house, a brand new house, matter of fact, in a brand new subdivision. He says, so before I met you, I was taking care of me. It's not about your money. It's about the companionship. So what I'm saying, Dr. G, is this. I think and believe that there's too much competition when it comes to relationship, when it comes to that money. That money, man, make you look at folk differently. I've heard the conversations where women were like, well, man, I ain't going to never date nobody who make less than I make. Matter of fact, my own seed, and I can talk about it because that's my own seed, he tells me, Dad, I ain't messing with nobody who ain't making my pay grade. You know, so now you hear, okay, now let's go back to that, what you said, Dr. G. This is the reason why a lot of women don't find the good man, because the good man might not be at the status of making the bacon like you making it, but I guarantee you bring that bacon home, that man gonna cook it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that piece too. I mean, the truth of the matter is the scripture gives us clear instruction. The love of money is the root of all evil. So what we find today are a lot of men and women that absolutely love money. And so, unfortunately, a lot of women are finding out that you can't sleep with money. It can't keep you warm at night. So, again, it has to be from a woman's perspective. She has to evaluate for herself what she deems high quality, high value. I use this example all the time. When Michelle met Barack, the brother was driving a rusty, dusty Yabba Dabba Doo mobile, okay, a Fred Flintstone mobile. The car had a hole in the bottom of the floor on the passenger side. He had it covered up with a floor mat. But you know how Chicago is. You know, you get the rust and all that. Rust is real in these really cold cities like Chicago. So he had been driving an old car, and it had been rusted on the bottom of it. And literally, you could see the ground. There's a small hole, right? If Michelle had looked at this brother and saw that he's driving a rusty, dusty 1984 get out and push, you know, if she judged him based on that and judged him based on the fact that he came to her job looking for a job, and she here she is in a senior management position at the law firm where she was working and perhaps on her way to partnership, if she had looked at him in that way, guess what? We would not have a first black president nor a first black lady of these United States of America. But Michelle looked beyond where Barack was, and she looked at more about where he was going. And guess what she did? She, after she saw his heart, because she said where she fell in love with Barack, he had taken her out a couple of times, and then he took her out to a community event where he was flowing in his purpose as a grassroots organizer, pulling people in the community together, trying to figure out how can I meet the needs of the community, right? This is before he became a senator. And she fell in love with Barack because of his vision. And guess what she did, my beautiful sisters, you awesome, anointed, beautiful queens? Michelle said, I can help that man fulfill that vision. Neither one of them saw themselves in the White House, but she saw herself being a helpmeet to that man. And instead of just pursuing her own personal goals, oh, one day I want to be partner in the law firm. So it's like, I'm going to be the first black woman like ever to be the partner in the law firm. Instead of going after those selfish goals, she says, no, I'm going to help this man become.
Yes.
And when she became one with Barack, she helped push him to the fullness of his potential. Because guess what, brothers? As much as we can accomplish on our own, we can only function at the apex of our potential when we have a good, loving, godly wife by our side. Think about this, Prophet Dwayne. Everything that God created in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, God called it all good.
Yes, he did.
But the one thing that he said that it's not good, and I'm paraphrasing here, this is a Dr. G-ism, he looked at Adam, he said, oh, snap, it ain't good that man should be alone.
Genesis 2 and 18.
Let us, here we see the first conversation of the Holy Trinity. He said, let us make for him a suitable companion. Let us create for him a helpmeet. And the root word of the word suitable is the word suit, which is something that's been tailor-made to fit. My God, it's
man.
Sunday night. Don't get don't get me going here, Dwayne.
Come on, man.
No, it's Sunday now. Don't get me going.
No. Let's go here. Because look at it. The Bible says Genesis 2 and 18, because we read it from different facets of it or of the Bible. But it says this. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper. Now, look at that. He said, now you said suitable. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now, when you broke that suitable down to a suit, that means this helper is going to fit his every need.
Yes, sir.
You know,
absolutely.
And so, man, I know we got some people burning up, man, trying to burn up that phone, the airway, to try to get in here to make a comment or say something.
Yeah, let's get them in here, Dwayne.
Let's
Q&A.
Yeah.
I love having a Q&A.
Yes, sir. Is there anybody, if you want to come in into this room, into this forum, just push one. I'm pretty sure Pastor E will let you in. Man, I'm telling you, I know that there's some questions that they're for you here, Dr. G. Pastor E, is there anybody in the in the room that wants to ask a question.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm always ready for all the smoke.
I know you are. Okay, Pastor E must. I don't. He must got his phone on mute or so. Pastor
yeah,
E,
let me read this to you while we're waiting for Pastor E. So the Voice translation says it like this, Brother Dwayne, in Genesis 2:18. The Voice translation says it like this: "It is not good for the man to be alone, so I will create a companion for him, a perfectly suited partner." So in the formula that I've developed that's helping men and women come together, it's a formula that I call COP, compatibility of purpose. Ultimate goal is not for us to look for people that we have a strong attraction to, because, again, as we stated earlier at the outset of this broadcast, Prophet Dwayne, we talked about people, all of us, if we're not careful, our soul craves familiarity. And so since our soul craves what's familiar to us and not necessarily what's purposed for us, then we have to learn how to become, how to break free from the entanglements in our soul, in our mind, in our emotions that cause us to get connected to people who are not a perfectly suited partner.
Man, you just keep getting deeper and deeper, my brother.
Yeah,
you guys are on it. You guys are on it, man. I appreciate you. Now, you guys know I'm always busy. So I mean, not busy, but always working for the Lord. So we were doing a service, and I'm listening, but I was trying to fumble to get to the mute button. And I'm glad I waited because I was able to listen to some more wisdom from this young man on this broadcast today. Man, you guys are doing a great job. Now, if you're out there in listening in the listening land, and you want to ask the question, get in the conversation, or make a statement, or either ask anything of Prophet Dwayne, dial 1 right now. We want to bring you in. Dial 1 will bring you into the queue at that time. Amen. So nobody's queuing.
Wow.
But I will tell you this. The lines are full, and you have done an awesome job.
Oh, bless you, Pastor
Amen.
E.
Pastor E, this is Dr. G, Apostle Hightower, that I want to introduce you to offline. Man,
yes.
This man is awesome when it comes to relationship. And I remember me and you, Pastor E, we were on a relationship panel on last Monday, I believe it was. And man, some very informative information. And then we were going to come back and we were going to talk about from the men's perspective. And on Dr. G's segment, he was coming from the women's perspective. And Thursday past, he was going to have from the men's perspective, but he was waiting on one of his counterparts, one of his dear friends. Oh, man, he has an awesome testimony that I wish we can get back on here to have him explain his testimony. His wife had passed away. And, man, I tell you, it was awesome. It was an awesome experience from what I heard. I haven't heard it from him, but I would love to one day hear it from him. So,
Prophet, the second Tuesday and second Thursday is Hot Topics with Man Up and Women Speak Now collab. I would love to get Dr. G on the Man Up segment that Tuesday and then come back that Thursday and bring the other testimony, because that's where the women will be kind of questioning us. That'll be a good time.
Oh, amen. Is there any question that you may have for the doctor, Pastor E? I'm just surprised that none of the people on Now Network haven't said something. Any of my brothers and sisters out there have not even chimed in to say something. Wow. You know.
Because they at the revival, bro.
Lit up. Okay,
they at the revival.
Okay.
They at the revival. They was calling in with they. That's who told me, because I had already put the board on, Prophet. And Pastor Terry looked at me and texted me. You know, she didn't come, but she texted me. She said, "You better go check." And then Minister Frankie and Minister Michael were saying, "Hey, Prophet's Closet, And yeah, that's where we fought the clinch in there. But I'm glad that we got here. And, yes, we are going to combine a bunch of questions and get them on our Hot Topics segment if the doctor is available.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean,
so
how,
go
how
ahead, Prophet. Take us out of here. You got as much time as you need. Actually,
okay,
you have 2 hours of recording left.
Oh wow. Yeah, we're gonna probably do maybe about another 30 minutes, and then because that'll take us to 8 o'clock, and then we can get on out of here.
Okay, I will mute myself, and I'll be back.
Amen. Dr. G, I know, man, look, this what you, and I was hoping that some people would have dialed the one to come on in and exchange with us. But like Pastor E said, a lot of the boards are lit up, but nobody is pushing that one to come on in. So, but nevertheless, we got 30 minutes. And we talked about the brokenness, and then we talked about how people are talking about there's no good men in this world or whatever the case may be. There's no more black good men. But you said something before we entered in. You talked about unforgiveness, because that's what one of the women had talked about on your segment on Valentine's Day. And she talked about how important it was to forgive. I think that's what we need to do in relationships. Even before you even enter into a new relationship, you need to forgive the individual, I believe, from the last relationship that may have hurt you, so that you won't carry on that brokenness stuff to this new relationship. So, Dr. G, let's talk about forgiveness. Why is it so important, or why is it needed in relationships? Because I know most relationships can't go further without forgiveness.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, forgiveness is a must, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because the truth is that as long as we harbor unforgiveness in our heart, we're simply not ready for a relationship. It's really that simple, and just to expound on that, if a relationship is going to be healthy, it requires me to be healthy. So if I'm still and here's the thing, Prophet Dwayne, we're not omnipresent. Unlike God, we don't have the ability to be in two places at the same time. That
yes.
said, you can't be in a place of healthy and unhealthy at the same time. You're either healthy because you've healed from the hurts of your past, or you're unhealthy because your wound is still open from the pain of your past. And if you're carrying unforgiveness and resentment in your heart, and one of the signs, ladies and gentlemen, one of the signs that I'm still hurting and that soul wound is still there, is when you hear their name, something goes down on the inside of you. When you see them, or you think that you may run into them at an event, at church, or bypassing them in a certain place, and you're going to show up at a place and like, oh, my God, they might be there. And something goes on the inside of you. It's like, oh, I can't stand that joker. Oh, I hope I don't see them. But see, when your heart is healed, it doesn't matter what they've done to you.
Yes,
if
sir.
Your heart is healed, you ain't going to trip off the fact that you
yes,
see
sir.
Him or her. Because you know what? I'm over that. See, it's one thing,
yes, sir.
Prophet Dwayne, to say that you're over a thing. It's another thing for us to be healed on the inside and to really be over that. See,
yes, sir.
When you're over it, there's no such thing as forgive and forget. We don't ever
Stay
forget.
Bad.
But when you're over it, you forgive to the degree that I now have a scar based on what happened, but it's not an open wound based on what I'm still dealing with and what happened. This whole
thing of, oh, well, I need closure, and until he talks to me, I'm not going to have closure. Yeah, yeah, you know, Dr. G, man, she ain't never explained to me why she cheated on me, you know what I'm saying? So I still need closure on that, you know what I mean? Well, no, every single day that you're needing this closure, which the other person is not obligated to give you. In fact, most often, Prophet Dwayne, that person is going on about their business. They already hooked up with somebody
exactly.
else. They are living their life. They're living their best life without you.
Yes, sir.
So if closure is required for you to be healed, which is not true, but if that's what you say and you're holding on to that, you just may find yourself for the rest of your life carrying a wound when God wants to heal that wound so you can move on and start living your best life.
Wow. Wow.
Someone is waiting on you and praying for somebody just like you, but they want the healed version of you, not the broken, still wounded version of you.
Come on, brother. Come on, brother. And you know what? And we carry that on into other relationships, the broken, the wounded, and then guess what we do? We continue to keep attracting others who are still broken and wounded.
Absolutely.
You know, and then the cycle goes on and it goes on. But, you know, but how, I guess, man, how do we break the cycle? You know, I mean, if
we break
you know,
cycle,
man,
Prophet Dwayne, by putting it, we break the cycle by putting in the work. So let me give you the principle. The principle, Jesus says, listen, y'all can't live by these Ten Commandments, so let me just leave y'all with two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second commandment is like unto the first. Love your neighbor as you love
yes.
yourself.
Yes, sir.
So now, if we haven't learned to love ourselves, then the cycle will continue. Once we learn to love ourselves, which may mean, Prophet Dwayne, sit your wonderful sanctified tail down somewhere for a season. Go get some counseling. Go get some therapy. Go sit down with a certified man or woman of God who can pour into you and help you get through this place of hurt. But a lot
yes.
of us don't want to invest in ourselves, and especially us men. We're really guilty. Women will seek out help way faster than men will seek out help. A lot of us brothers think, I'm good, I'm straight, I'm cool. You know, I done already let that go. Nah, bruh, not if you are a social media stalker still hovering over all of her pages.
Right.
You trying to see, because now she with Pretty Ricky. Pretty Ricky, what they call it. And so now she with Pretty Ricky, and you trying to find out, is she going to the same restaurants and the same vacation spots that she went with you? Nah, Pretty
Come
Ricky
on,
taking
man.
Her somewhere else. You never wanted to go on a cruise. Pretty Ricky got her out there going to Aruba. Watch this. He ain't good for her spiritually, but he's sure doing his thing financially and physically. Oops, did he just go there? I sure did on a Sunday night. Listen. So to break the cycle, Prophet Dwayne, it requires soul care, that I got to sit down for a while. And I've got to let a qualified, certified man or woman of God pour into me and help me see myself and help me see where I need to improve.
Man,
I got to give another love shout out to the late great Kobe Bryant. As awesome as Kobe was, and everybody unanimously agreed that for several years Kobe was the best player on the planet, even LeBron, who was still coming into his prime, 2005 through 2008, 2009, even LeBron said Kobe is the baddest dude in the world, period.
Yes,
when they
sir.
All went to the
yes,
Olympics
sir.
In 2010, everybody, Kevin Garnett, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, everybody said Kobe is still number one, period. You know what Kobe did every year? Every year he went and got some coaching to learn how to get better. He wanted to work on his inside game because he could no longer fly through the air and dunk on people no more. He said, man, I'm in my 13th year now. I got to slow my tail down. So he went
yes,
in
sir.
The offseason and started working with Hakeem the Dream.
Yes, he
and
did.
He started working on his footwork. And Kobe became one of the best players in league history in his inside game. He said, if I'm going to get better, I've got to sit down and get some coaching. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to get better, if you're going to get your soul together, your mind, your will, and your emotions so you can get healthy for your next and stop carrying the pain from your ex, You have to get some coaching and maybe even some professional counseling to get better. You will not get better by yourself. You're going to have to invest in yourself and have someone else coach you up to help you get better, Prophet Dwayne.
My goodness, man. You're going somewhere. Man, I tell you the truth, man. There's so many things that I want to say, and you know we don't have a lot of time, but I want to say this because I remember when I was working at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and it was an older guy that was in the break room, and it was myself and a few other drivers that were in there. And we were talking about relationships, and we're talking about how to handle someone who cheated on you. And you know, me, I was young, I just got married, and I was talking about infidelity, and I was saying, man, there's no way on God's green earth that I would be able to deal with the wife that I'm married to giving up the cookies to somebody else. I said mentally I couldn't deal with it. Mentally, I would be able to handle it because the more I would sleep next to her, the more I would think about this other individual. And so this older man had said this, and he broke this thing down, man. He said, "Well, brother, let me say this to you." He said, "Because I cheated on my wife. I did a whole bunch of things on my wife. And one day, I found out that my wife was cheating on me." I said, "Oh, my God, that's heavy." I said, "So what did you do?" And he said these words to me. He said, "I still accepted her as my wife."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "You didn't look differently? You didn't look different?" He said, "No, because of all the stuff that I did wouldn't cause me to look at her any different." I said,
mm-hmm.
"Lord have mercy." He said, "So you young men up in here, I've been married. Okay, I'm 50. I'm 52 now. I was in my 20s. So you figured almost 30 years ago that this still buzzes in my ear because you hear a lot of people in relationships that talk about, you know, the infidelity that may have went on in a relationship. So what would you advice would you give someone who possibly can't handle the mere fact of infidelity, you know, in a relationship? Because, you know, everybody always saying that, man, oh, infidelity, oh, man, it gives me grounds to divorce. How do you talk to the person who's contemplating walking away because of the broke of trust? Or, and then now this is a part two question, so how do you gain the trust back, Dr. G?
Mm-hmm.
How do you gain that trust back?
That's a great question. So it's like this is a much deeper level, but it's like every other facet of the relationship. It's both of us investing the time and the energy to making things better. So that's going to require us to both evaluate even the person who was cheated on, that you're going to sit down and take an honest evaluation for yourself. For example, I counsel with a bishop, very well-known bishop. His wife is very well-known as well. And I counsel with him. She cheated on him multiple times with one of his best friends. He was devastated. Unlike the man you're talking about, this man had never cheated on his wife. And we know men. Now, he has no reason to lie to me. And I've known this man over 30 years. And you know, as we say in the streets, Prophet Dwayne, game recognizes game. We know men who are cheaters. And we also know men, ladies, even though you might not believe it because some of your friends and cousins and aunties and them told you, albeit erroneously, all men cheat. And the devil is a liar and his cousin. Now, that said, the man of God came to me with tears coming down his face, and he says, "Gee, I don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, do you love your wife?" "Man, you know I love that woman, man. You see, I put her on a pedestal." "Got it." I said, "Can you forgive her?" I'm hearing some background noise, Prophet Dwayne.
Okay. Pastor E.
Yeah. That's because I had broke away because when I left, we got two hands jumping up in the queue, and I didn't want to hold them and miss their question before you guys ended.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Area code 281.
Let's take a question.
Yeah. Area code 281, last 40407. You are live in the closet. Come on. Talk to us.
Oh.
Area code 281.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
She forgot her phone number.
I did for a second, but I guess I thought you guys were going to just dismiss it, and I was like, okay, I got away with it. I'll just keep my mouth shut.
No, come on, woman of God, come on with your question. This is yeah. I'm Prophet Dwayne Woods, and this is Dr. G. Hightower.
Nice to meet you, Prophet Dwayne Woods and Apostle Hightower. You've been coaching me along the way, and I've been, you know, talking here and there and watching you recently since January. All right, so this is Andrea Guillory, But
hey, how are you, Andrea?
I'm doing good. I'm just listening in. The conversation is really, really good. And I don't want to, but I did have a question about the last relationship that I was in. And this particular person was an apostle, was a man of God. You know, I was praying fervently, you know, as I was, you know, taking steps through the relationship. He came. I received a call from another couple who are also a man and woman of God who has some influence. And so I thought and prayed and kind of heard from God that I knew it was him connecting me to the person. So the fullness of what it was, I didn't know. So based upon the high, you know, person that basically was like saying, okay, yeah, I approve this person. He's great. His wife, you know, died 5 years ago, and, you know, he's been single since, and, you know, given me that this was just a good person who loved the Lord and all of that. So in this courting phase, I realized that he was a narcissist. And
okay.
In that, I told him, this is what I see, these are your patterns, and I said, it's narcissist behavior. And he, you know, got offensive, you know, defensive, and, you know, blah, 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 the things, and, you know, you're calling me a name. I said, no, I'm calling it out. And by the way, it came from the Holy Spirit. So,
okay.
Needless to say, this was something I eventually had to depart from. And, of course, you know, forgive and going through all of that. And, you know, I had to heal and cry and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And I've come a long way. God really pulled me through it. But I know that's a slight residue there that I know I'm still, you know, just getting over that residue. I've forgiven him. I've moved on and that kind of thing. But, you know, sometimes that's that residue where you have that reservation. So,
okay.
What are you?
So, Prophetess Andrea, with respect to the time, what exactly is your question? Are you still trying to deal with that? Is the residue still bothering you to some degree, or do you feel like you're past it? What exactly would you like me to address with that concern? And thank you for sharing, by the way. Thank you for trusting us with your question.
Yeah, so my big thing is character. And, of course, if you're dealing with a narcissistic person, character is flawed because of just the nature of you dealing with that, right? So me being real with me, Andrea, because I want to be better and I want to make sure that I get in the red, that I adhere to the red flag before I go in deeper into that relationship. So how do I stop that? And I'm not afraid to move into another relationship because I'm not there and I have really given it, you know, to God and healed and, you know, have my crying out for the heart thing and all of that. But how do you, going forward, okay, so the question is going forward, how do I make sure after, you know, I've had, you know, a high regard, you know, they would say, hell yeah, this is a guy you can trust, this and that, and I'm going on, I'm believing God, and then, boom, I just bomb hits me. How do I maneuver through that so that won't happen the next time?
That's a great question, Ms. Andrea. So first and foremost, because you have that experience, you now know far better than you did previously. You know better now what to look for, what signs to look for, and what to steer away from. Now, I will definitely take your word for it, Ms. Andrea, because I know you are a woman of integrity and certainly a woman who's spiritually mature. So I will take your word for it that this man was indeed a narcissist. However, I do want to caution you, Ms. Andrea, and all of my sisters, every man who may not be a good fit for you or may be dealing with some emotional issues doesn't mean he's narcissistic, okay? So I do want to put that out there because nowadays women are quick. I had a woman call me a narcissist because she disagreed with my perspective. We had a disagreement.
Oh,
I didn't call her out of her name. I spoke to her very lovingly, very respectfully. In fact, the other women in the room said, oh, my God, Dr. G, I like how you put that. I don't really know if I agree with your perspective, but I love how you presented that. But she still took offense that I did not agree with her, and she called me a narcissist. I know I'm not, so it didn't bother me a bit. But my point is, Ms. Andrea, how do you get past that is I need now – having gone through that negative, painful experience, I need now to prayerfully approach every relationship. And as I'm talking to this person and building with this person, I want to be in a constant mode of evaluation. What happens to all of us, men and women, and especially for my sisters, because women are wired emotionally by God. And so because women are wired emotionally, if you're not careful, Ms. Andrea, what happens is, the more you have great experiences with him, great conversations with him, then there becomes, you get to a point where you start kind of letting your guard down, so to speak. And what happens is now we are preventing ourselves from discerning on a high level, having a high frequency of discernment. And that's the part that we must not lower. Okay, you do, as you want to build a relationship over time, you do want to become more vulnerable and more accessible, but we must always do what the scripture says, to guard our hearts with all diligence. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. So I need to be vetting his character. You want to have intentional conversations, and if you are discerning, Andrea, if you're discerning anything that feels like or sounds like what you've experienced in the past, then you want to ask direct questions. But make sure you frame your questions because, as our grandmothers taught us, it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. So you want to make sure you frame the question in a way that is not threatening nor accusatory. You want to frame the question based on genuine concern and curiosity because when you approach a man right and you ask him the right questions, he'll open up and share everything. But you have to frame that right. None of us men want to feel guilty for what the last man did.
Come on now.
Right.
Does that make sense, Miss Andrea?
Oh, yes. Yes, it makes a lot of sense. And that is what happened because this was like, you know, the summer. And so it, you know, went on there for months and months. And so that's what happened. I dropped my guard, and especially based on the reference that he had that was so solid. But you know, it was from me dropping my guard. That's kind of what happened because as soon as I started dropping my guard a little bit, I could then see, as I look back, I could then see how it started just kind of turning and how I began to see more of.
Right. I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Just Andrea, we do have
we got one more person.
Yeah, we got one more person in the queue, Miss Andrea. So I hope we were able to address your question.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you both.
You're very
you know,
welcome, dear.
God bless you, Miss Andrea. You know, Dr. G, that there is from, I heard this from a psychiatrist. She said only 1% of narcissists ever get healed. Only 1% of narcissists ever gets healed because of the deep rooted pattern that is in their life. And so I was dealing with something, and she said, she said, "Brother, I want you to go get this book." So I went to Amazon, and I went and got this book. It's called Healing from a Narcissistic Relationship. And and so, man, I tell you, I would give I'll give her name, but her last name I can't really say it because it's I believe she's either Italian or German, but it's Margulis, and it's a funny last name, F J E L Stead. So.
Oh wow, yeah, I'm gonna need a consonant. I'm gonna need a vowel. That's too many consonants for me. But
man,
hey,
I'm telling you,
that's a great. I would love to be. I'd be interested in that book myself. Prophet Dwayne, let's get this other person who's holding.
Yes,
in
sir.
The queue.
Yes, sir. Next caller in the queue, Pastor E. Pastor E.
He might have went back into the service.
Yeah, he probably did. I'm trying to get his attention right now. So Dr. G, because I know she's dealt with narcissists. I want to go back to where this man. Once I talked to him, man, because there's so many stories that I've come in contact with over the years dealing with relationships. How do you deal with a relationship when you're in the church, you're in ministry? And then all of a sudden something happened because when I was in Chicago, I was at a church, and it was infidelity at this particular church, and the person he was the pastor's armbearer, and the armbearer was man, lovely relationship. And the pastor didn't have a son of his own, so he took this guy in as a son. And he was actually getting ready to turn his ministry over to this son. But because the armbearer had an adulterous affair, he decided, and his wife decided, that they were going to get help, which they did. And then all of a sudden, they walked away from ministry. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm trying to figure out. How do you walk away when you're the next person that's getting ready to get the church? You got healed, but you walked away from the ministry. Talk to me about that, because I'm finding that hard.
If a person has been healed, they'll never walk away. See,
exactly.
The clear indication that he was not healed is the clear indication that he was not healed is that he walked away. Because see, when you're healed, you stay. There's something that happens both on a spiritual level and a physiological level that happens on the inside of us, that when healing takes place, healing brings a new level of strength. Healing brings a different level of intestinal fortitude. The saints of old used to call it stick-to-itiveness. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that's going to run me off of my square. There's nothing that's going to get me off. You know, I'm like Apostle Paul. I'm fully persuaded that nothing, neither death nor life, neither height nor breadth, nor any such thing is going to be able to separate me from the love of Christ, right? That means included in the love of Christ in my personal relationship, it is also about what he has purposed for my life. See, Prophet Dwayne, I went through pure hell in ministry. And anyone who becomes a leader in the kingdom is going to go through some pure hell in order to get there. But I went through pure hell in ministry. I was ridiculed. I was falsely accused, lied on, stabbed in the back. None of it caused me to leave the place where God planted me.
Yes,
if a man or a woman uproots themselves, it's simply because their heart is not healed or they're dealing with pride and or fear.
You know, when I look back, you know, when I was back in Illinois, because me and my wife, we went back there back in 2000. And so we uprooted ourselves from Georgia and we moved back home and we served at this ministry for a little while until the Lord spoke to me and said, look, get out of here because I'm getting ready to tear this up. So this was at another church, but then we find out that the guy who went through this infidelity, his wife, you know, was hurt. She felt abandoned, that she didn't have any help from the first lady, and somehow she coerced the husband to let's both leave the ministry. And I was like, well, how in the world did this happen? You said you got healed, and you're supposed to be the next person in line to receive this ministry. Why would you leave your post? Why would you leave your position? And you find that in a lot of churches, and you find that in just a lot of people's character, that they think that they're healed, substitute certain things to say, well, this I'm healed now, when really they're not healed. Because you don't walk away from God. You don't walk away from the church. You know, if you were healed, you don't walk away from the church. You stay within those parameters so that now, because you say you're healed, your gift now is supposed to heal other ministries or other married folk. But you abandoned the position. You know, how do we rebound, or how do we get that individual back in alignment? Because I believe, first of all, it's hard to even tell them that they're out of alignment because they're in their mind that they are in alignment.
Right. Well, Prophet Dwayne, that's not our job. That's God's job. See, when a person has gotten that far off where they're even considering leaving, yeah, we want to reach out to them. We want to love on them as much as possible. We want to remind them that they are needed. But once they make a decision that they're going to leave, That's between them and God on how they come back. We look at the story of the prodigal son. The father did not send for the prodigal son. He didn't send his armor bearers out there and say, hey, go get my son and bring that ninja back over home. You know, no. That boy was out there living it up.
Yes, he was.
Spent all his money. And ended up homeless and flopping with the hogs. But the Bible says, Prophet Dwayne, but one day he came to himself.
To himself. Come on. Come on, brother. Come on. Come on, brother.
And he said, hamburger, I done lost my cotton picking mine. Why am I out here swapping with the hogs? I would live a better, more quality life if I go back even as one of my father's servants. Than seeing out here, you know, sleeping out here next to the trash can at the bakery waiting for them to throw some bread out here.
Right.
Sleeping behind Subway hoping they throw some sandwiches out here in the trash, you know what I mean? So the Bible says he came to himself and then he went back home. I think once a person leaves their post, when they uproot themselves and they move out of the place where God has planted them, where God has sent them, we have to simply pray for them that one day they will come to themselves.
Amen. 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 Now, you're right about that. You're right about that, Dr.
Yeah, because us trying to chase them down and trying to get them to see the better way is only going to push them deeper and deeper into a state of rebellion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad to say that because I got a sister that I'm dealing with that she just woke up one day. You know, I just don't want this any longer. I can do bad by myself, and I'm good. And I'm like, I didn't understand what she meant by that. And I don't care how many scriptures you can force down a person. If they don't want to eat the scripture, then guess what? It's just falling
you know, it's like a child who's you're trying to feed, but they continue to keep spitting the food out. You know, so I agree with you wholeheartedly. And now that this, you just pretty much gave me my answer that I needed to just fall back from my sister who just said, I'm going to just walk away from God. I told her at the end, look, all I'm going to do is just pray for you and believe God, that, you know, because he's married to the backsliders, you know, so I just got to believe God for you and just leave you right where you're at, you know, and just pray from you for a distance. So if there's anybody else that want to say something, because we had two people in the queue, I can't get a hold to Pastor E right now because he's in ministry. Is there anybody who wants to say something to Dr. G? You're more than welcome. We have about 8 minutes, Dr. G. We got 8 minutes. And so I want you, since they're not, nobody is saying anything else, I want you to give all your information, sir. And man, we got to do this again, Dr. G. Man, I appreciate you. You know, I like your enthusiasm, man. I like the way you're comical with the word, and because that makes a person relax to talk to you about what they're going through, you know. And man, I appreciate you coming aboard, man. Just, you know, with this segment of the Prophet's Closet. You know,
yeah,
I'm talking about relationship. So, yeah, give us all your information, how we can get in contact with you and your services.
Yeah, so I am the CEO of Real Love Nation, which is a relationship development and premarital consulting and divorce recovery firm. And so you're welcome to you're certainly welcome to be a part of our community. Connect with me on social media, which is where I'm going. I go live every day. You can connect with me on Instagram, on Facebook, on Clubhouse. My handle is the same on all those platforms, DRG Hightower. That's Dr. G Hightower. In fact, on Instagram, you'll find me as The Entanglement Coach. The Entanglement Coach. My job, I specialize in helping people break free from soul ties and entanglements. So by all means, you can find me on Instagram as The Entanglement Coach, and on all other platforms, you can find me at DRG, Dr. G. Hightower. Now, if you want that real love assessment, I will be glad to give it to you absolutely free. All you have to do is send me an email, reallovenation@gmail.com. That's reallovenation@gmail.com. Yes, that's two L's, reallovenation@gmail.com. Send me an email and just say, hey, I want that love assessment. I want to see if I'm really ready for love. I want to be able to answer these questions and take a good look at myself and see if I'm ready. Like Michael Jackson said, Prophet Dwayne, I'm looking at the man or the woman in the mirror.
I'm asking him
to change his ways. Come on, somebody. Listen, so if you think you're ready, if it seems like you're ready, send me an email, reallovenation@gmail.com. That's reallovenation@gmail.com. And anybody who wants coaching, listen, I'm going to do a special tonight just for the Prophet's Corner, and this is for tonight only. If you would like to coach with me, I'm going to offer you an awesome package that normally is $300 for 4 weeks of coaching. I'm going to give it to you tonight. If you send me an email tonight, I'm going to give it to you for $97. $97 for tonight only. If you want to sign up with me for coaching, I will be honored to serve you. Oh, okay. We got Pastor E back in the mix.
Oh, look, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm all over the place. I was praying at the time when I heard y'all call my name. I had it in my ear, but I could not stop praying. Awesome job. We got to do this again, and you know we have whatever flexibility we need. Man, you guys come on back, man. Let's talk to the people.
Amen.
Pastor Cherry, we don't want to leave without giving you an opportunity to say, I know you raised your hand. Come on into the closet.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good evening, Prophet Woods, and also Dr. G. Praise God for what you guys are doing. You know what? I heard you give your information, real Real Love Nation. Yes, two L's at gmail.com. So I did take that information down. And Prophet Woods, I put it on your post on your page. But you know what?
Amen.
What really stuck with me is like all people don't cheat, you know. This is what I'm saying, too. I'm being a single woman in my 60s, but a lot of times people are entering into marriage. You know this probably, Dr. G and Prophet Woods, you've been married a long time. People are in marriage without being counseled, no counseling. They're
in
engagement and not even being evenly yoked. My God, you know, so I'm listening. So I agree with Pastor E. This is something in Prophet Woods. This is something, Dr. G, you have to come back again and keep sharing with us. Keep sharing with the women and the men that it takes us to be rooted and grounded in God and our relationship with Him before we can move forward in another relationship. Amen.
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 Well, praise God.
Amen.
For you guys.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
God.
The Lord.
Amen. Love you. Hallelujah.
Love you too.
Love you too, my sister.
Love you all, family. God bless.
Thank you so much. God bless you too. Amen. Well,
Amen.
Pastor E, man, we have a phenomenal man of God with us, you know, and I'm so thankful that he was able to join me on the Prophet's Closet on tonight.
Yes.
And he said, man, he got a special for the Prophet's Closet people only for tonight. And what? Come on, Pastor G or Dr. G again. What is
yes,
it?
Yes, sir. So my coaching, I have a coaching package where anyone who participates in this coaching, you'll literally get 2 one-on-one coaching sessions with me, which is normally $300. Tonight, I'm offering that for $97. $97. All you have to do is click on my link. All you have to do is send me an email, and you'll have 2 personal one-on-one coaching sessions with me to help you get relationship ready. For those who may have lost a loved one, if you are widowed, I'll be glad to help you and help bring you into a place of healing in your heart so you can get relationship ready. And then, of course, for those of us who have been through a divorce, as I have what I call, Pastor E, divorce recovery services. See, divorce, like Dr. Miles Monroe said, divorce is a form of death. And so we really have to get our heart and mind over that hurt, over the pain of that divorce, so that we can get relationship ready. Or else you'll find yourself going in and out of relationships trying to get over that hurt but not really being able to get over it because you're still healing in your heart.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Prophet Dwayne, I got to raise my one-on-one charges, bro. I'm tripping. I'm just being silly. Thank you so much, Dr. G, for being on board today, man. You have really blessed this network, man, and we look forward to connecting with you offline and seeing how we can partner and spread this news, man, and help each other out. Amen. Prophet, go ahead and pray us out of here. I got to go because they're about to close out, and I'm the closer.
All right, well, I'm going to have Dr. G close us out, amen, in prayer. For those, if you get in contact with him for this package, please mention you heard him on the Prophet's Closet. Amen. As I turn it back over to Dr. G to pray us out, we just believe God for each and every last one of you, and y'all come back the first Sunday of the month where the Prophet's Closet will be back. Over into your hands, Dr. G, for the last words in prayer.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every person under the sound of our voice tonight. Thank you, Father, for every word that has been heard. And I thank you, Father, that these words would not just be stimulating to our mind, but, God, that the words would be planted on the fertile ground of our hearts so that we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we die to old habits so that the new version of ourselves can come forth, because Jesus, we know that you don't pour new wine into old wineskins. So thank you for deliverance. Thank you for transformation. Bless Pastor E and Prophet Dwayne Woods. God bless this broadcast. Thank you for blessing them to enlarge their territory. And we will give you, God, all the glory and the honor because it belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. God bless each and every last one of you as we go out in music. From our very own Pastor E, as he sets us up to exit the building,
Hey, each and every one of you, you have now been dismissed from the Prophet's Closet. God bless each and every one of you.